Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Maybe Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is right, that the Chicago way is a phenomenon, a natural phenomenon, a cultural phenomenon. Today it takes me on a rainy day to the federal building where I'm standing on Dearborn and Adams. It's where Ed Burke pleaded not guilty in his recent indictment. Something about the rain. I'm looking across the street and there's a farmer's market. You ever notice how the color green stands out on a gray rainy day? There's something electric in the color green, as it was on Ed Burke's tie. Green, of course, as he sauntered calmly through the corridor on his way to Magistrate Jeffrey Cole's chambers, where he pleaded not guilty. We're going to talk to Carol Morin of NBC and the Dean of the City Hall Press Room, Bill Cameron of WLS, about Burke and whether or not we ever thought Burke would ever show up here in federal court charged with a crime. Nobody ever thought that was possible. And there are other things happening as well. There's the Burke case. The indictment just came down, and more indictments to come, with thousands and thousands of recorded conversations by Danny Solis, former alderman of the 25th Ward and chairman of the Zoning Committee. And Burke, whose tape is on the wire and recorded for all to see. And then there are other cases, too. There's that Bridgeport Bank case, Washington Federal Bank in Bridgeport, there for 100 years, and all the politics that bank has to tell. It's shut down now. John Jambara, the president of the bank, was found dead in a depositor's home, mysteriously suffocated. And then there's another case going on the same time, and that's John Coley, the Teamster boss, who pled guilty in another federal sting of allegedly shaking down the CineSpace Studios on the west side. Chinatown wise guys have been seen all over that studio. Trucking bosses, tough guys. And here comes John Coley shaking them down. Something's not quite right here. I've just got a feeling that all these cases, the Burke Solis case at City Hall, the investigation of the Bridgeport Bank, and John Coley, Teamster boss, shaking down the studios, all of that is somehow related. There's no such thing as a coincidence on the Chicago way. My spidey sense is tingling. Jeff Carlin is back at the studio. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board. And here in the rain, on Dearborn, Ed Burke leaving the building, white hair, double-breasted suit, that vibrant green tie of his, smirking, let's say smiling, not smirking, like a guy who knows what's going to happen to him and doesn't like it, but he's not going to punk out, at least now. And you know where you are. You're here on the Chicago way. on WGN Plus.
The Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
I'm sitting with Carol Marin. Sorry. He'll leave this in. I'm sitting with Carol Marin of NBC5, political journalist, investigative journalist, WTTW, and also professor at DePaul University. That's the last time we had a long talk. It was at your class, right?
DePaul. That's right. That's right.
And now we're out here. Burke is about to be arraigned. Ed Burke, 50 years an alderman, powerful finance committee chairman, going down because some guy wanted to go to a massage parlor.
The amazing thing to me is that Danny Solis, the alderman who was a mole for 2 years, 2 years wired up.
At least.
Is stunning. And he was the head of the zoning committee. So he and Burke operated hand in glove in order to help developers get things done.
We just had Lori Lightfoot on, Mayor Lightfoot, the other day, and she said her information was that, yes, the indictment says 2 years for Danny Solis on the wire since 2016 or late 2016, but she thinks it was a lot longer than that.
Well, Danny Solis was picked up on somebody else's wire, and so that might count for something. So Danny Solis didn't walk into the feds saying, gee, I want to be a really good citizen. I've suddenly seen the light. Yeah. Danny Solis got nabbed, we are told, by somebody else wearing a wire, another mole. And so Danny Solis' voice may be on wiretaps or recordings for far longer than the time he, in turn, was wired up.
We're just kids in this business, you and I, and Ed Burke is just a mere child, but we're all from basically 55th Street, around the same area. I'm from his ward, you're from that ward too, but farther west, 55th and Ashland, I think, right?
That's right. He was a visitation Catholic. Yeah. My mother was a St. Augustine Catholic because she thought that St. Augustine was a humbler operation. In any case,
the no lace curtains for the Marine family.
No lace curtain Irish for the Marine family. My mother didn't like it. So, yes, we're all hailing you, John, and Ed Burke from the same place.
We were the, they let Greeks in the name. We were the minorities then, the Greeks. But what does it mean to the city to see Ed Burke here in this building bleeding in his criminal case?
We've seen so many aldermen indicted and go to prison who were low-level, bottom-feeder aldermen. They weren't powerful people. They took 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. They did stupid, venal things. But Ed Burke is a master of reducing property taxes, of maintaining extraordinarily wealthy clients, including for a time Donald Trump. And so Ed Burke is a power player, part of a power couple. His wife is just about to become the Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court in September. I mean, they are a first family of power and the establishment.
And now if he goes down for this thing, what does it tell us about, is Chicago now finally ready for reform, or are we just going to have somebody else like him?
I don't know the answer to that question. It seems that the machinery of corruption knows how to morph and survive. It's like one of these super viruses, and so I don't underestimate anything along the lines of utter reform. But, you know, John, I have another question, and that question is, you and I both were around during Silver Shovel, mm-hmm. when the feds used a mole named John Christopher, who was such a bad guy that they couldn't even put him on the witness stand, and they were fly dumping in poor wards in order to make their case. Now, we've got, as we understand this indictment, Danny Solis directing Ed Burke on what they ought to do about a situation with the developer at the behest of the feds. Our government was operating with a couple of people doing crooked things overseen by the feds, and I want to know a lot more about the federal oversight where people were getting TIFs and other deals without the participation or the recognition of the taxpayers knowing that there were funny things going on in the government.
It seemed like Lori Lightfoot wanted to get ahead of that when she said, you know, she talked to Lausch, the U.S. attorney, and said Fisher cut bait on these cases and that it's wrong to drag them out. It's almost like she's trying to get ahead of what your questions are.
My questions are, you know, when does the federal government get so carried away with its own cases that it's willing to play with our tax dollars and our government in behalf of making an ironclad case? And that question persisted for me with John Christopher, and it exists in this case today.
What wasn't understood in the Silver Shovel case was that you couldn't build gigantic mountains of trash. I mean, like ski mountains of trash, if City Hall wasn't part of it, and if the mayor's office didn't allow it, and they allowed it, and several aldermen were nabbed, especially minority aldermen were nabbed, the kind of guys that were sticking their hands out for envelopes, not Burke types.
And an alleged reform alderman, Larry Bloom.
Jesus, that was
so, Larry Bloom. You know, so my question is still, sometimes with federal prosecutors and the righteousness of the federal government, you know, you always hear the prosecutor go to the jury and say, ladies and gentlemen, I represent the United States of America. Well, in representing the city of Chicago, I want to know what was being transacted in behalf of making a federal case that might not have been good for us as taxpayers or as a city.
Carol Moran does not ask questions publicly unless she kind of has an answer. So that's where you're going. Huh?
Well,
you already have something on that.
I have a real concern and curiosity.
In closing, Ed Burke, did you ever think you'd see the day?
No. And I didn't think I'd see the day for former Alderman Ed Verdoliak either. These are two guys who believe, masters of a craft. These are two guys who believe that you don't write it if you can say it, and you don't say it if you can nod. And so to be caught on audio, to be caught on your cell phone.
The tuna, the cash register, which is your favorite?
I like the cash register quote the best, but here's the other part of it, and I have to say this too. Mayor Lightfoot assumes that Ed Burke is already guilty. As a former United States attorney for the Northern District, the thing that ends every press release is the public be advised that an indictment is not a conviction, it is not evidence of guilt. And one of the things that all of us need to not get carried away with is that this case hasn't been litigated yet. And while the feds have a remarkable conviction rate in the 90s, I have seen people acquitted out of this building. Not very many, but I've seen some. And so have you. And so I'm going to reserve judgment on all of it.
Good to keep in mind, always, at the end, in the legal sense, you're absolutely right. In a political sense, Burke was convicted the moment the butcher tape went up on the office door, and Lori Lightfoot used his legal problems to vault herself into the job of mayor, correct?
Because it distinguished her from four other major candidates, all part of what we might consider the machine. I use that word carefully these days, but it distinguished her. And so she stood apart, and as a former assistant U.S. attorney, further stood apart and was able to make the case that she didn't belong to any of them. She didn't belong to their fundraising, their money, their friends, their organization, and that was important.
Isn't there going to be a time when we're going to hear some sort of faint echoes of bagpipes and nostalgia about the last hurrah and the way things used to be, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know many people who are going to be doing a last hurrah on that. I think the electorate's tired. I think taxpayers are tired. And citizens want government to do what government's supposed to do and not do a kind of where's mine operation. So I don't know that there's going to be a lot of tears shed if he is convicted. Is he a classic larger-than-life Chicago figure? Yeah. No question about it. Like Patty Baller and like Tom Keene, his mentor in the Finance Committee, who went to prison long ago, and Ed Burke then took that position as the chairman of the Finance Committee. We'll watch all of that. We're going to watch every bit of it.
Carol Marin, thanks for being on the Chicago Way.
My pleasure.
Going to Chicago, I'm sorry, but I can't take you. I come from Chi-Town. Chi-Town is my town. Going to Chicago. Sorry, but I can't take you. I've got to quit you. Can't make it with you.
Sitting here on a rainy day, Ed Burke has left the building, I believe. He was resplendent in a blue suit. Green tie, gave me a wink as he walked down the corridor. Nice hair, coiffed, everything. Shine shoes. Did you ever think you'd see this day, Bill Cameron?
John, I never thought I would see this day. Did you?
No.
He just got sloppy and got caught on tape by Danny Solis, of all people.
Is it fair? Should I call him happy endings or nice endings? Which is the accurate?
You know, actually, I think there's one little piece of this that he's enjoying. Did a feature on this morning. This is Tuesday morning. Went back into my audio archive. Found Ed on the floor of the city council quoting Mayor Carter Harrison II. They were debating a pay raise for the alderman. And he quoted Harrison as describing the aldermen of the 1890s as dim-witted plug uglies who have an insatiable appetite for more money. And that last part, of course, is what the feds are now accusing Ed of.
Right.
So what I used that for in a feature was that Ed Burke, the Chicago historian, a little bit is enjoying his piece as a rascal in the notorious history of Chicago politics.
Clarence Wagner could have been mayor, and many of the people that were Richard J. Daley's way ended up mysteriously dying. This Wagner got his head cut off in a traffic accident in Minnesota.
Right, mid-50s.
And then Richard J. becomes the chairman of the party, then mayor. Joseph Burke is tapped on the shoulder, I think a plumbing foreman or something, and they make him alderman. When he dies, Eddie becomes.
Lots of interesting consequences and coincidences in Chicago politics, aren't there? I mean, even Richard J. Daley was a Republican when he went down to the state legislature.
When you see all this corruption and you see how it works, because it's all about government, using government,
mm-hmm.
Isn't the proper position for a reformer to be conservative like me, because the limited government limits the opportunity for scoundrels and, what did you call them?
Rascals.
Plug uglies. To use government to grab stuff.
You know, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. The liberals are so often creating more and more government on which the rascals feed on with extortion and kickbacks and so forth. So I guess you're right. If you are principally conservative, you have less graft to feed on, don't you?
Or let's put it the reverse. If you're principally a reformer, you must be conservative.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I'm not sure Lori is a reformer in this fashion, but we'll see what happens.
I'll leave you with this. When you refereed my high school football games, was I not a great player?
You were one of the best.
Thanks, man. See you.
I was born in Chicago,
in 1941. Well, my father told me, son, you had better get a gun. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, my first friend went down.
Stop raining for a bit. Sun's not coming out, it's still gray. And the green of what green you can see downtown still stands out vibrant against the gray sky. I don't know how the light works. I don't know about the physics of it. I do know, though, that I guess I should have known that Ed Burke would have worn that green tie. And doing this podcast, The Chicago Way, and talking to Carol Moran and Bill Cameron and others, Tim Novak of the Sun-Times, Mark Brown of the Sun-Times, other people I respect, like those two and all four of them and more, you get a sense to kick things around, especially if we've been around a while. And I'm reminded of the, you know, Lori Lightfoot, the last time she was on with us just a few days ago, and she said she needs a book to author, you know, to offer to her staff so they could get a sense of the historic nature of Chicago political corruption. I don't know if there is a book like that. The Outfit by Gus Russo, Ovid Damaris, Captive City, Clout by Len O'Connor. Of course, people will say Mike Royko's Boss, and as far as style goes, it was really great stylistic achievement. But I think O'Connor's book, Clout, and Ovid Damaris' book, Captive City, were just two superb books. And what they tell you is what we talked about with Bill Cameron earlier there in the federal building. That the more government, the more corruption. Because if it's wrong to weaponize government for your own gain, as corrupt politicians do, well then, the more government means more weapons. And so if you're really a reformer, you'd want to have less government. Our founders knew something about that, didn't they? They understood that limited government was about freedom and not about thuggery or plug uglies, like Bill Cameron said. And, you know, speaking about stories and books and the story not in books, let me tell you one. My Uncle John told this to me, and later on, Ed Burke told it to me, too. So let me tell you. In the early 1950s, there was an alderman from the 14th Ward, where I grew up. His name was Clarence Wagner. Before I was born, Clarence Wagner was the chairman of the Finance Committee. Sound familiar? And he had done the impossible. He had put together the Finance Committee agreement and citywide infrastructure plan for Commonwealth Edison to have control and, you know, dominion over all our electricity forever and ever. I wonder what that was worth. It was probably worth a lot. Clarence Wagner wanted to be chairman of the Cook County Regular Democratic Party. And he came from the 14th Ward. Sorry, Dearborn. And he came from the 14th Ward, run then by Judge Jim McDermott. And McDermott, Judge McDermott, I don't even know if he was a judge, but he was the boss of the ward. His brother was Monsignor McDermott, who worked on the west side with the winos and the stew bums, as they were called back in the day. Now they're just called homeless addicts. But he worked with him. He was a good, decent man. And McDermott understood politics, and his horse was Clarence Wagner, finance chairman. And Clarence Wagner was on his way to becoming mayor of the city of Chicago. All that stood in his way was a fellow named Daley, Richard J. Daley, right down the street 20 blocks down the street on Halsted Street. We were at 55th. They were in the, you know, like 35th. And there on the corner of 55th and Halsted in the 14th Ward was a place, my uncle's place. It was called Lamex Restaurant. I loved that place. He made great rice pudding, and someday I'll tell you about the rice pudding he made. But for now, they had card games. Card games at night. You know, I think there were friendly games. I don't know exactly what happened, but there were a few card games. And one night, with Clarence Wagner on his way to becoming mayor, at first party chairman, then mayor, with Mayor Martin Cannelli weakening and falling apart because the machine hated him, the newspaper story was, oh, he's against patronage, so they had to hate him. But the real story, Martin Cannelli, Mayor Cannelli, cracked down on the policy wheel. It's like the black lotto in those days. And he thought there were black people running it, so he could mess with them. He forgot that they were Italians, and they just had black fronts. The Italians had taken over years before, when Sam Giancana went to prison and came back and told the boys, there's a lot of money to be made with those nickels and dimes on the west side and south side. And that's what they did. So Cannelli was on his way out. Wagner was on his way in. The card game was at Lamex. Wagner had gone for vacation. He went out to Minnesota to do some fishing. And a funny thing happened the next day. The card game was on a Saturday night. Lasted all night. I'm sure there were good bluffs and a lot of fun, and maybe some money changed hands too. It was a quiet card game. The doors were closed to the restaurant. They did it, you know, on the QT. My Uncle John Jenkins was making coffee in the morning, like 6, 7. And here comes Judge McDermott, who had been at the game. And my Uncle John says, Judge McDermott, Judge, what's up? Did you forget something? Did you forget your money? I mean, you know, like he was teasing him. And Judge McDermott said, no, John, I didn't forget anything. I've got business at the bank. The bank was next door. Uncle John knew not to say a thing because it was Sunday. And were banks open on Sunday? And the legend has it that the news story was that no one knew was that Clarence Wagner had the unfortunate accident and had his head basically cut off in a car accident driving home from Minnesota fishing. Wasn't that terrible? So he couldn't be alderman. He couldn't be mayor. He wasn't anybody. He was a corpse. And those safety deposit boxes that he, I guess, had filled when he set up the Commonwealth Edison franchise deal, those were full, or at least legend had it. Burke said, he said he thought they gave the widow about $10,000, which is chump change in those days. So Wagner dies. Judge McDermott needs a new alderman. Richard J. Daley is moving forward. He's going to be mayor and boss. All the tough guys, the so-called Italian tough guys, were happy with Richard J. Daley. Oh, they were going to. They had some land out on the north in the northwest suburbs that they wanted to be made into an airport. Maybe you heard of it, O'Hare Airport. And that's the Chicago way, isn't it? So now Ed Burke is going down, wearing green tie or no, wistful smile or no. He's got to know that he's hogtied with the words he said on tape, especially the part about the cash register hasn't rung yet, unquote, or did we land the tuna, unquote. He's toast. At least politically. I wonder if his wife, Judge Ann Burke, Supreme Court Justice of Illinois, will still be Supreme Court justice. I didn't say she did anything wrong, but, I mean, how can Lori Lightfoot, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, say, you know, get rid of Ed Burke? Ed Burke, you must resign. And here's his wife, Ann Burke, living in the same house. Didn't she know what was going on? Isn't she a lawyer? And then you have the coincidences or the things that are coming together. That mysterious death of John Jambara in a customer's home, the bank president of Washington Savings in Bridgeport, of all places, and the millions of dollars in loans that were let out. The FBI's looking at all that. And the FBI's also looking at John Coley, the Teamster boss, alleged to have shaken down CineSpace Studios with all those Chinatown wise guys and trucking bosses. And yeah, if you're listening, guys, I know who you are too. And don't worry, I'm not going to go to Chinatown for spaghetti dinner if you invite me at midnight. And then you have Danny Solis on the tape, and all those people, zoning lawyers, zoning committee chairman. I mean, he's the zoning committee chairman, or was for years. And you have now you have zoning lawyers and developers and others wondering, what the hell did they say to him in all those years he was working for the federal government? It's almost like right now, the Chicago way is giving us a glimpse at the hidden infrastructure of the city, the political infrastructure, and it's starting to crumble. There's a weakening in the foundation, like a building about to go. How far it goes and who does it take, we don't know. But you can feel it, can't you? On a dark, rainy day with Ed Burke walking out of federal court in his blue suit, double-breasted, that green tie flashing in what's left of the sun. For Carol Marin of NBC5, DePaul University professor and of WTTW, respected journalist, and for Bill Cameron, another respected journalist, dean of the City Hall Press Room for WLS, and for Jeff Carlin, my buddy, co-host, and producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis on WGN, and of course for me, the guy telling the stories. I should write the book that Lori Lightfoot wants to read. Maybe I will. You know? Maybe I will. For John Cass, husband, father, with the best job in the history of the world, columnist in my own hometown, the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board, and a co-host here where you've been, and I hope you come back and visit again on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.